Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So if you've listened to our last two episodes, you know that I've been spending some time in some small towns in the North Georgia mountains. Today, we visit a small town with some extensive recreational opportunities, with its own lake and very near the highest point in the state of Georgia, and we talk with a mayor who is not even born in this country, but has made this small town her home and is making things better there year-round. We're going to go talk with Mayor Liz Ordialis in the small town of Hiawassee, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Public Software. While the name may sound new, Public Software has been helping small towns, cities, counties, and utility districts for over 50 years. They provide integrated software to help manage utility billing, accounting, and additional services. They help organizations accurately calculate, collect, and distribute money, print and mail statements, and effectively manage budgets. Some say they are a B2B company, but Public Software is focused on H2H, human-to-human connections. With decades of proven success and reliable service, let them make your software applications work seamlessly with the human interactions in your community. You can learn more about Public Software and what they can do for you and your organization by visiting www.publicsoftware.com. That's www.publicsoftware.com. Public Software. Strong relationships, stronger communities. All right, I'm in the council chambers at the City Hall in the city of Hiawassee, Georgia. I'm actually sitting where the council sits. Sometimes it's a table or a couple of chairs, or sometimes most of the time it's not even actually in city council chambers. But I'm up here like I'm helping lead a meeting, but I'm joined with the person who does lead the meetings, and that's the mayor of Hiawassee, Mayor Liz Ordialis. Mayor Ordialis, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you here, Mr. Mayor. Welcome to the hills.
Thank you. Yeah. These are a little more than hills. We got some mountains up here.
We got big mountains. Hiawassee, from Hiawassee, anywhere, oddly enough, in Hiawassee, you can see the tallest point in Georgia, which is Brasstown Bald.
Yep.
It's got a great...
I remember that from my, a fifth or sixth grade social studies class, highest point. There it is. Now I'm here.
And then right outside the Hiawassee city limits, you can go up to Bell Mountain, which gives you a great view of the whole city and the whole county. And that's the highest point in Hiawassee.
Yeah.
So we got the highest point double.
You're at the top of Georgia.
We are at the top of Georgia.
You got that on a t-shirt somewhere, a bumper sticker?
I think Candace and the chamber beat us to that. But yes, that we capitalize on that as much as we can. It is a beautiful place to live.
Well, we are going to talk a lot more about Hiawassee, but I want to start by talking about you. I'll remind our listeners, we've actually talked to Mayor Liz Ordialis before when she was a newly elected mayor. In my first season of Small Town Podcast, I interviewed, it seems like about six or seven folks at the, it was called Mayor's Day at the time. They've changed the name to Cities United Summit now, but it's in January. And so anybody who was elected in November, they get sworn in, you know, right there the first week of January. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, they're at their first Georgia Municipal Association event. I tried to capture all the wide-eyed new elected folks to ask, sit in front of a microphone and say, why in the world did you decide to do this? And so Liz was one of those folks, and that's how we met. And so I already know a little bit of your story. In fact, I know the answer to this first question. But for our audience who may not have heard that episode or may not remember, were you born in Hiawassee, Georgia?
I was not born in Hiawassee, Georgia.
Where were you born, Liz?
I was born in Havana, Cuba.
Yeah.
And back then, and I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was.
That's okay. I wasn't going
to
ask.
But when you immigrated to the United States, you had to establish residency in a third country. So my family and I left and lived in Spain for a year. And then we came here to the United States, to Miami. And my mom's still living in the same house we all grew up in.
I
have a brother, and I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. And yeah, she's still living in the same place down south.
I won't ask you how long ago that was.
Please don't.
But I am curious, how long did you live in Spain?
A year. You had to establish residency for a year before you were allowed to come into the United
States. And then you came straight from Spain to Miami?
That's correct.
And I'll ask this, how old were you when you moved to Miami? I'm not trying to line anything up. Don't worry. I see the look on your face like I'm trying to do some quick math.
Left Cuba when I was two.
Okay.
And then we went to Spain for a year. So I got to Miami when I was three. So all of our schooling, all my brother and my sister were both born in the United States. And I went to school, you know, kindergarten through college, mm-hmm. all in the United States. So
you were raised a big city girl.
A big city girl.
In Miami.
And I'm happy to be here in the mountains, away from the big city.
Well, you graduated high school in Miami.
Yes.
And what did you do after that?
Well, I worked for Bell South. Actually, Southern Bell first.
Right. They changed names a couple of times.
Then Bell South bought us out. Ultimately, AT&T bought out Bell South. I retired as a Bell South employee after 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great career. Bell South is a great company. They were really good to us. They provided skill sets that, you know, were fabulous. Skills in sales, marketing, business management. It was fantastic. It was a great career.
And we did really well. In the Miami area?
Started off in Miami and then moved to Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for 25 years before I retired up here.
Okay. What brought you up to Hiawassee?
Easy. Have you driven in Hiawassee?
Those mountains you referred to?
It's a beautiful place to live. The folks here are very, very nice. It's just a wonderful place to live. It's got trails. You've got the lake. We're right on the shores of Lake Chetoug. Mm-hmm. The mountains are spectacular. You have the Four Seasons. There's hiking, boating, kayaking, everything that you want to do. You can be as busy as you want to be in Hiawassee, or not.
or you win. Or not busy. What? Let me ask this now, because you were living in Atlanta, finishing your career with Southern Bell South, AT&T, and you just visited regularly, and
you would come up on the weekends trying to de-stress from the Atlanta drama, right?
Okay.
And you come up here, and oddly enough, I always stopped at Helen. I never went over the mountain.
Okay.
I worked with a friend that had a house up here in Hiawassee.
Okay.
And we were coming up for a conference one week, and he said, why don't you come up early and so you can check out my second home up in Hiawassee? And we did, and man, I just fell in love with this place.
Yeah.
It was just, it's so beautiful here. It's a great place to live.
So this was like, maybe from that moment even, it was, hey, when I'm done with the rat race, when I retire, I'm leaving the big city, I'm going to Hiawassee, and I'm just going to live there. So you knew even years before that this is where you wanted to be?
Absolutely. I had a house, we built a house here 20 years ago.
Okay.
I have lived here full-time 15 years.
Okay.
So yeah, we knew this is where I wanted to be.
That's so cool.
So radically different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. So I guess the next question would just be, how did you, because now you're the mayor, mm-hmm. and I'm not born and raised in Osceola. Because of that, I think it's sometimes silly that I'm the mayor of Osceola, because that's not often how small towns work. Not necessarily that's bad. It's just kind of the way things are. So how did you first get involved in local organizations or you know, whatever it was that eventually led to you getting into local government in this position?
Well, the first thing I did when I got up here is I felt like I was in a position to give back to the community. So I became very involved with Meals on Wheels. I was the president of the fire corps. You know, our budgets are very small up here, as you know, coming from a small city,
that's
right?
That's right.
Budgets are so minute. So I got involved with the fire corps. I became the president of the fire corps for 5 years. We raised some money there. I'm very active in my church. I go to St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church. And, you know, I just have a skill set that I think, you know, could be useful here. So I started coming to the city council meetings, and I felt like, you know, there was some disregard for the city. With all the potential that we have here, I just don't think that we were taking advantage of it. So I thought, you know, the usual, put up or shut up, right?
Yeah.
So let's go and get on the council and see what we can do to make this better.
Okay.
And I got on the city council. I was on the council for about a year and a half, and then I became mayor pro tem. Our mayor that had been here for 21 years retired. So I took over as mayor then. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I had to resign in order to run for mayor.
Okay.
And then got elected, and I've been mayor since 2017.
All right. Well, let me ask this then. You've answered part of the question. You wanted to get more involved. You saw some things that could be better, and you made the decision. And I applaud you for this, because a lot of people want to come and shake their fist at City Hall, but then not want to do the things to make the changes they say they want to see. But was there a specific thing or a specific set of things you said, hey, these things need to change, and if I get on council, I want to affect change in this area or this area?
My biggest topic of addressing is the revitalization of downtown. Mm-hmm. We have a great little downtown area. We have some buildings that were built in the 20s and 30s that have just been abandoned.
You got a great square. You showed me the view from your office.
That's right.
You can see what's going on in the square, whether you like it or not.
We have a great square, and that's another thing, you know, bringing more events to the downtown area. And promoting all the goods that we have here.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, the city has been able to purchase a couple of the oldest buildings in town that have been derelict for, well, I've been here 25 years. There's never been anything in there.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to purchase those, and now we're developing them into a business incubator and bringing, you know, fun stuff to do here in Hiawassee.
Well, that's very cool.
Yes, it is. It's very cool. We're trying very hard. We're in a good position. We've got an economic development director that I think you'll speak to soon, Denise McKay. Mm-hmm. She's only been here about a year and a half. We've established a downtown development authority. We've become a Main Street affiliate. I think we're moving in the right direction to set us up for great things to come.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. Now, how many is on your council? How many council members?
Five.
So five plus the mayor.
Five plus the mayor.
So I hope this doesn't offend. I'm just curious. If you are on the council for, you said, a year and a half, mm-hmm. and you were the mayor pro tem, I would assume not everybody was quite as junior as you in years. So why were you the one that ended up becoming the acting mayor?
I think, again, they realized that the skills that I had might be able to move our city forward, and just gave me the opportunity to serve in that position. And we've made pretty drastic changes here. We've changed a lot. We've reduced our debt significantly. We've worked on our infrastructure tremendously, the sewer and water treatment and sewer plant. So we've done the hard work. Now it's time to do the fun work.
Yeah.
You know, the hard work's done. Let's have the fun now.
Let's hope it gets to the fun work. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me ask this, because here's just something I'm just observing in this part of the conversation so far, because you and I have talked. Neither one of us are from the places where we're now serving as mayor, and in small towns, that's a little odd, sometimes looked at a little funny. So I know both of us have had folks in our respective towns kind of look at us or even suggest, hey, you're not even from here. You don't know how it's supposed to work. And there's a little bit of that. But I'll say this, for both of us to have been elected in our respective towns shows that at least the majority of people who actually showed up to vote are fine with us coming from somewhere else, coming here, making this our home. And also, you seem to have the support of a council that most of them, if not all of them, had served longer than you and saw in you the skills and said, well, we're going to not worry about seniority. A lot of towns look at that as like the most important thing. Well, so-and-so has been on the council longest, so they should be in charge even if they don't have the same skill set. So I guess I'll just say the word speak to that, because I say that a lot when I'm not sure exactly how to ask a specific question. That just seems very good. And you seem to have that in Hiawassee. While certainly there were some things that needed to be improved, you identified some already. People were willing to let you do it. And there's some small towns that aren't willing to let someone from the outside come in and make those changes.
Well, you know, at first it was fairly difficult. We did get a lot of resistance, or I got a lot of resistance from the long-term locals that have been here. But I think, you know, with time, and they see that we're all trying to do the best thing for the city.
Yeah.
And in improvements and making things right. I think people understand that, you know, our heart's in the right place. And when I say our, I mean the councils. Everybody is pretty much in sync on what we're doing. We want to do the best thing for the city. I was very fortunate to have been elected. I won by 71% of the vote. And of course, that's city citizens, which is a little different than when you look at the whole county. Mm-hmm. But I think people were ready for a change. And I think I was just in the right place at the right time with the right skill set.
So with 71% of the vote, I assume you had opposition.
I had opposition. It was a local guy, and he's a very nice guy, local businessman. I just think that I out skilled him. That was all really that there was to it.
And so that was 2017. Mm-hmm. So that we're sitting here in 2020. So if that was a full year term, because it wasn't a special election, it was the regular election that you had to resign your council seat to run for,
that's
for mayor.
Correct.
So that means there'll be another election for mayor next year in 2021. So right now, as we sit here, I'm not going to hold you to it because it's qualifying so a while away, but you plan to run for reelection?
We're going to see what happens. We'll see how much, how far along we get in the improvements that I've made. It's a very steep learning curve
sure.
to step in,
oh, yeah.
as you know, I'm sure,
oh, yeah.
into this mayor role, especially
you,
when
you at least had a year and a half of council.
Yes.
I came in pretty cold without having sat on the council. I had been to several council meetings, was aware of some things, but yeah.
It's a steep learning curve, and we do not have a city manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I serve as both mayor and city manager.
Right.
And our organization, while we're only 907 people in Hiawassee, we serve water and sewer for the entire county.
Yeah.
With the exception of Young Harris. They have their own water and sewer systems.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else in the county is served by the city of Hiawassee. We'll see how we get along. I'm not committing either way, but you know, if we're not far enough where I think we need to be, then I certainly will run for another term.
Yeah. Well, what would be that? I'm not trying to pin you on the whether you run or not. It sounds like you've accomplished some things. You had that steep learning curve. You had some initial resistance, but you've already been able to kind of say, well, we've started this. We've made this new key hire with Denise. You've made some purchases of some buildings that had sat completely unoccupied and unused for, you know, the 25 years that you've been exposed to Hiawassee. So it sounds like you've got kind of a list of building momentum. What more would you like to see? And this is an if you run for re-election and if you're elected, what would you want to do moving forward? What's kind of your vision for things?
Well, we were very fortunate. A couple of years ago, I applied for a grant to get us some money from the Appalachian Regional Commission.
Mm-hmm.
to do a strategic plan for the city of Hiawassee.
Yes.
And we were awarded that grant, and we hired the University of Georgia Vincent Institute to come and do the study for us, and they did a spectacular job. So that's really our guiding force.
You now have a planning document.
I have a planning document.
Those are
it's
important.
A darn good one.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was a very well-attended sessions. We had focus groups with infrastructure folks, Blue Ridge Mountain EMC, DOT.
Yeah.
We had business owners. We had community organizations. We even had one-on-one interviews with like the historian, longtime residents, all of those folks that came in. And then we had a town hall meeting that had over 60 people there. So I think our input was pretty robust.
Yeah.
And then we built that plan from that. And that's what we're checking off. We've done 71% of the items of the goals that we identified. We've either completed them or have approval for and are looking for funding for it.
Right. You've got the necessary prerequisites done, and now obviously the money's.
So to answer your question, that was infrastructure. We've completed our sewer plant, and let me tell you, it is a great, great operation. Our sewer operator, Clint Royce, is fantastic. It's spick span, wonderful operation. So now that we've got that taken care of,
you don't often hear the word spick and span referring to a sewer plant.
Yeah, but I know, but it is.
No,
I'll take you over there, you can see it.
That's
I'm proud
big.
Of it.
That's big.
Very proud of it. Now we're looking at expanding our water treatment plant.
Yeah.
We've just got extra permit for more withdrawal from the lake. We withdraw water from the lake, process it, and get it to people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
We were hitting our permit pretty close in the summers. In the winters, it's a lot slower, of course, because there's less people here. But in the summers, we hit our permit pretty close. So we've expanded the permit. Now we've got to expand the operations of the plant.
Yeah.
So that's what's on tap for this fall. We'll start with that. That's the non-sexy stuff.
Yeah.
Water, treatment, sewer, way
infrastructure, not incredibly necessary, but not
sexy.
Yeah.
So the fun part now is we're looking at Lloyd's Landing, which is one of our parks headed out of town. And we want to put in a kids' play area there, a kayak launch ramp. We just put in at Mayor's Park a boat ramp for real boats, not kayak boats, but like pontoons and jet skis and that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, on the weekends, that place is slammed. There's 50 to 60 boats using that ramp every day. So want to develop that a little bit more. And of course, continue with the revitalization of downtown. We've bought those two buildings. There's many other things that we can do to enhance our downtown area. So that's my main focus, is those three big projects.
I just can't help but comment on this. Carl Vinson and Dr. Laura Meadows and the Institute of Government at University of Georgia, incredible staff. There are so many resources like that. You mentioned your regional commission that the state and our regions have offered, and those opportunities are there to build those plans, to do those things. And yeah, so that's just, that's good on you to be aware of them and to make use of them. And the part where you've got 71% of these things done after such a short period of time is really, I mean, congratulations on that. That's pretty amazing.
We've been working pretty diligently towards doing that. And you mentioned the resources. Oh my God, it's an really endless amounts of resource.
Yeah.
The Georgia Mountain Regional Commission, which is in Gainesville that does our area, is just phenomenal. We would have never gotten that grant without them. I'm well aware of that.
Yeah.
They have helped us with our planning documents, our comprehensive plan. We've used them for grant writing. They've done our sewer maps. We've never had a sewer map in Hiawassee. Mm-hmm. We've been here forever. 1856. No sewer map. So we've got all that kind of, you know, in the works, that the Georgia Municipal Association.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
So we've got all those resources out there. And I remember going to a meeting at the regional commission saying, hey, I'm going to use and abuse you. And I did.
Yeah.
They still bring that up. It's like, listen, enough with the use and abuse, okay?
I'm sure there's joking, but if yours is anything like mine at the Southern Georgia Regional Commission, they love helping cities and counties. And I'm not going to speak for them, but I'm pretty sure they like the small towns better. Just because the impact they can have on a small town is so much more. We're so resource strapped. You were just talking about the size of our city budgets is so small that we're limited by that. But those resources are available and they're just awesome. So you using them has got to be a part of the success story of Hiawassee and so many other small towns in Georgia. And I'm sure other states could say the same thing.
I totally take advantage of their services.
Yeah.
They really are great. That's the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I want to shift a little bit and talk very specifically about Hiawassee. You've told us what's drawn you here and some of the things you're accomplishing. But before we get more to that, I have a segment I always do called the Get to Know You questions. Okay. And this will help me get to know you. I know you a little bit, Liz, but these will really, really help me get to know you. And anyone that thinks to know you, I bet they learned something new too.
Uh-oh.
So it's just four simple questions.
Four simple.
So the first question is, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
You know, I have a funny name.
So, the look on your face told me that there may be a good story here, and that always pleases me.
Being Cuban, and by the way, I think that Ray Martinez, you know Ray Martinez, somewhere in Gwinnett County, I can't remember the city, Lawrenceville or Tequila, somewhere around there. He and I think, are the first Cuban mayors in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
Where I'm going with this is, being Cuban.
Was he elected before you?
I was mayor pro tem before him, so I win.
So you were the first acting mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
In the state of Georgia. Cuban acting mayor in the state of Georgia.
There you go.
Anyway, being Hispanic, you know, you have funky names, right? Like Ordiales. Come on. And it's a Spanish, northern Spain name. But my first name is not really Liz. It's Lizmel.
Okay.
So you go through school.
I would have guessed Elizabeth, and that would have been very ethnocentric of me.
So you go through school being called, you know, Dismal Lizmel.
Oh.
You know, that kind of stuff. So I dropped the Mel part.
Okay.
And that's how we got to Liz.
Okay. So Liz is the nickname.
Liz is the nickname.
But not from Elizabeth, but from Liz Mel.
What is that, right?
No.
Liz Mel Ordiales. Come on, Mom. Really? Really? So drop the Mel, stick with Liz.
Liz Mel Ordiales, the first Cuban appointed mayor in Georgia.
That's it.
Because you're
appointed
by
that,
your council.
You know? I'm very proud of my heritage, you know, so we're good.
But he was elected before you were actually elected as mayor, so you kind of have a little, there's an asterisk
there. We were both elected at the same time.
Okay, okay.
He's just the guy, I'll be the girl.
I say the tie goes to you since you were already acting mayor beforehand, so.
There we go.
No offense to Ray Martinez.
Ray's a nice guy.
All right, Liz Mel.
There you go.
Actually, Liz was the nickname.
Liz, please.
All right, next song. Next song. Next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. Do it on every cruise ship with my family.
So many people have so much trouble with that question. And it was like you knew it was coming. And I can attest to the audience. She did not read my notes. She did not know that was coming. I will survive.
Yeah.
I can't.
And even there's a little instrumental part in the middle.
I can't wait to get caught in a karaoke bar with you. I will cue that one up and then just hand you the microphone. Okay. Next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Boy, these are easy.
Okay.
North of Spain, paella is my favorite.
I love paella.
Yes. I can make a pretty mean paella.
What is your meat or protein of choice?
For paella or in general?
For paella.
For paella, of course. You know, it's seafood. So
yes.
Fish, scallops. I love, love, love mussels.
So maybe I need to learn something here because I've seen paella with steak or chicken or something like that.
Oh.
Now, I always get it with seafood.
Yeah. The traditional dishes.
Paella del Mar, I think, is the way it's usually on the menu when you get it that way. That's the way I prefer it. But I thought paella could have other meats. That's why I asked the meat.
Well, then it becomes like chicken and yellow rice or, you know.
So pretty much what you're saying is if it's really paella, it only has seafood in it.
That's correct.
And there's variations that people call paella, but right. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's my favorite.
Okay.
And I can make a pretty mean one. Maybe one day you can come up to the hill and I'll make you a paella.
If we could have actual paella, which of course includes seafood, now that I know that for sure, and karaoke, then
I'd be in trouble.
All right, final question. If you could attend any concert of any singer, band, duo, any kind of performer, who's and they could be dead or alive,
ooh.
Whose concert, whose performance would you want to see?
I would probably go with Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
She's quite the class act, and her voice is phenomenal. So
Barbara Streisand.
That would be my choice. Kind of weird, huh?
No.
I
mean, you were ready on all these. Okay. Most people have to pause on at least one. It's usually the karaoke question, but that one didn't. You didn't.
That was easy. That one was an easy one.
Well, Lizmel Ordialis, right? Thanks for letting me get to know you.
Anytime, Matt. I enjoy spending some time with you.
Now, let's face it. Small towns don't always have a reputation for robust economic development or strategic planning. But you might be surprised at how some small towns across Georgia and across the country are planning and executing development plans no different than a metropolitan city. We just have to do it on a smaller scale and with fewer resources. A great example of this way of thinking and growing is happening in Hiawassee, as well as Young Harris and throughout Towns County. I had the opportunity to talk with the person coordinating these efforts on my recent visit. All right, I'm now joined with Denise McKay, who's the economic developer for not just one entity, but the city of Hiawassee, the city of Young Harris, and Towns County. So, Denise, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, I'd like to get to know my guests a little bit. So I started asking some questions. Then I said, well, wait till I hit record. I asked this question knowing the answer already. Were you born in Hiawassee?
No, I'm from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
I was going to say you didn't quite sound like you were from Georgia. So, and I think you said you'd been to several places. Go ahead and go through that list of all the places you've been.
New York, Iowa. Michigan, of course, Wisconsin, South Carolina, and Georgia, sometime in Kentucky.
So without going into this question for each of those places, how did you end up here and why have you decided to make this your home?
I met Larry Ordialis at a Georgia Municipal Association conference several years ago, and she started talking to me about Hiawassee in Towns County. And I have, a friend of mine has a home up here, so I've come up here to vacation with her and just enjoyed the area. And when they were ready to go forward with economic development, Mayor Ordialis asked if I would please come and join their team. Okay. And I've been here a little over a year now.
So where were you before? Just before this?
In Henry County.
Henry County. Okay. But working in, said GMA, so you must have been working in municipal government somewhere.
I worked for the city of Hampton before that. And then I was in Jackson County, the city of Commerce, Georgia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So not your first government experience, but your first one here in the North Georgia mountains.
Yes.
And you got away from the city.
I did. And I love it. We never have a traffic jam unless it's around the 4th of July weekend.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. In Osceola, we only have traffic jams when there's a tractor that's going slow down the highway and backs up some things. But that's it. And he usually pulls over to let us all around after a little while anyway.
We have the fishing boats.
There you go. There you go. Okay. You have the same kind of things. You mentioned the new position. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that because that was something that they formed specifically. So you're the first one to have this position they formed for economic development in the two cities, the two municipalities in Towns County, and then the county itself. So talk about, I guess, what was behind forming that, what they were trying to accomplish. And you've been doing that for how long?
It was a year in January, so about a year and a half now.
Okay.
That I have been up here. The city of Hiawassee was really proactive and came up with a strategic plan to help with redevelopment. The county has a comprehensive land use plan that they're doing, and their plan to put things in place in Young Harris is with the bypass coming around the city, they have a lot of work ahead of them. And so they knew that there was a need to bring somebody in to coordinate these efforts between all three entities. When I met Liz, she just talked to me a lot about it, and it's a beautiful place. And with their strategic plan, it has a good set of goals and objectives that you can implement so you have something to work with. And the other two were working on developing theirs for them.
So I imagine the first year was a lot of kind of getting things set up. There was that plan put in place. So just talk about what's going on in the first year and maybe where things are about to go now.
The first year that I was here, we formed a steering committee. There was 12 individuals representing each of the three areas that we met here every month. We completed a SWOT analysis. Being a rural area, we don't have a lot of the rules that other cities have. And other counties, a business license. We don't even have a business license in the county. So we had an open records request from the state. We did an analysis of what we have, what type of industry we have, what our shortages are. We looked at the areas that we could possibly develop and what was needed. And we partnered with the regional commission, and they're in the process of developing a comprehensive economic development plan. We have a land use plan, but now we have an economic development plan that we're developing in the city of Young Harris because of the bypass coming in there. We know that when that is done, hopefully the state highway is going to be deeded back to the city, and then we can take and do economic development down, redevelop their downtown and actually create a town center for them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We've been working on just putting plans in place that we have to go forward. Thank goodness Hiawassee had their plan done. We were able to form a downtown development authority. We've become a Main Street affiliate, and the city has bought a couple buildings, and we're in the process of writing a business plan now and submitting grant applications so we can start a business incubator in the downtown area.
Well, very cool. Will you have a focus of the types of businesses for that business incubator, or are you very open?
I mean, it's very open. We don't want to narrow it into just one type of business. We are hoping to attract some small industry here. And if we have people that would like to do a small machine shop or anything of that nature that would create a livable wage, we have a lot of tourism industry because of that being our primary revenue source up here. But we need something that we create a livable wage jobs. And so we are trying to hope that we have a business park that we can develop. And if we can work people through a business incubator, help them with their business plan, give them the tools and resources they need, that hopefully within a year we can move them out into the business park and they can create anywhere from 5 to 20 jobs.
And that seems to be, and I'm dealing with this in Osceola and Irwin County, you know, everyone wants you to bring in the big manufacturing plant that employs 300 or 400 people. and the conclusion I've drawn and the conversations I've had lead me to believe that those smaller businesses that employ 5 to 20 just make more sense for a small town just because of those big places need huge incentives. You don't always have the workforce that can supply the jobs anyway. There's a lot of things that make it just not a fit, even though that sounds good and that'd make a good splashy headline on the front page of the paper. So talk about that. I mean, that sounds like
it would not make a good splashing headline on our paper up here because this is a rural mountain. It's a rural mountain area. People move here to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city. They like the quietness. They like the lifestyle that we offer up here.
Yeah.
If we can get a few companies offering 15 to 20 jobs up here, that would create a good wage for them. It would be much better for us. It's not going to overwhelm the area. It's not going to put an impact on our systems here that we have in place, which we have plenty of infrastructure in place. We have excellent schools. We have good infrastructure. We have broadband. We have everything we need. We don't have the land mass for somebody that would create 300 position company. We just don't have it here.
A big plant like that.
The smaller businesses are going to be good, and they need to be independent instead of interdependent so that if one has a problem, that is not going to trickle downhill and affect all of them.
Yeah. Well, Denise, you've obviously been very busy in your first year and a half. So what are you hoping to accomplish as you move forward? Now you've built some momentum. You've done the initial work. What does the next year and a half or 2 years hold for you?
Well, we have our first meeting of the Joint Development Authority, and it's an informal gathering so we can pull the board, the authority together for the first time will be next Monday. And after that, we are planning to have quarterly meetings that are open to the public. All of our meetings will be open to the public, but in between the quarterly meetings, we'll have workshops so that we can develop a plan for what the Joint Development Authority is going to do. The Downtown Development Authority, we are working on the Paris Plaza Business Center, which is going to be a business incubator services. We have two buildings, as I mentioned earlier, downtown. And the two buildings, one, we were applying for a $500,000 grant to repair both the buildings and get them up to code and standards where we can use them. One, we want to lease to a business that would complement the goals of the strategic plan and to create a nightlife area in the downtown area for Hiawassee. And the money that we generate from that will help support our business incubator. And of that, we're not going to narrow it to any type of business. It's going to be open to a lot of different businesses. So that is going to take us, once we get awarded the money, a year to redevelop them. And so in about a year and a half, hopefully, you will see our business center up and running.
Denise, you sound like a very, very busy woman. You've got a lot going on. That's very exciting, all the things going on in the two small towns and getting the county involved. And that Joint Development Authority, I think you said, was Towns County and the city of Hiawassee and the city of Young Harris.
It is, and it's the first authority of its type in this area here where the commissioner has, they've all agreed to let everybody appoint equally representation on it. And that is the first we've had one of this nature. Typically, the commissioner does a sole appointing to all authorities that are under his jurisdiction. But this one, he has brought the two mayors in and everybody appoints three representatives on it.
Sounds like there's some good collaboration there.
It is very good.
That's not always the case, but it's very helpful when it can happen.
Working together, and it makes life much easier.
Well, that's great. Denise, thanks so much for sharing all this
and
for joining us on the podcast.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm.
Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast.
We also handle digital media production and marketing for small businesses in small towns like ours. We believe that small businesses in rural communities are the key to sustained growth and high quality of life. And we know that now, more than ever before, small businesses need someone that they can trust to help with the very necessary aspect of digital marketing to help your business grow and find new customers. Your digital presence is now just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Urbanomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media, email lists and newsletters, and making sure that all of those things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and the county lines, so that you can focus on keeping your community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Caitlin, Bailey, and Matt can guide you into growing your business, go to urbanomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Urbanomics, helping small town business thrive. All right, well, talking more about Hiawassee specifically, I actually have a question that I was told to ask you about.
Okay, here we go.
You guys, and I think it's just outside of Hiawassee, but still Towns County, and have a pickleball complex.
Well, we do.
And I was told by your chamber president, Candace Lee, to ask you about it because she says you're quite the pickleball player. Now, she explained kind of how it works with a wiffle ball and the racket's a little shorter than a tennis racket, but maybe a little longer than a racquetball racket. It's like a tennis court, but shorter. So that's what I know about pickleball. So fill in the blanks there and tell me about why is pickleball so big? And maybe if you can give us even the history, because deciding, hey guys, I have a great idea. Let's fund the construction of a pickleball complex. Not every community has done that, clearly. So how did it come to be so big here? So tell us about pickleball.
Pickleball is fantastic. Pickleball rocks. If you drive around town, you'll see these little stickers that say pickleball rocks.
Okay.
And just to make it a real easy description of it, it's like ping pong on steroids.
Okay.
Basically the same rules, basically the same setup of the court, except it's on a court. And most of the times you play with a partner. So it's sort of like tennis for the older who can no longer run. That's why the shorter court.
Less back and forth.
And you're playing with a partner, so there's less running around to do.
So a smaller court, and it's divided in half.
Right. So you see, it's almost like it's an easy game to play. It's really lots of fun. And here, you know, we're a retirement community. In the summers, we blow up, double our population in the summer.
Yeah.
And a lot of these folks that come here that are retired are still young. They're still active and they still want to do things.
Right.
So we had I think there was 4 tennis courts just outside the city limits. Now, I can't take full credit. I can take credit for playing. It is so much fun. But I can't take credit for any of the building or anything. That was all a county effort. But we had these 4 tennis courts that were just run down and unused.
Okay.
So the commissioner back then, Mr. Kendall, decided that he would build a pickleball complex based on the fact that we had pickleball ambassadors here that were very active players.
Pickleball ambassadors.
Yes.
Now that sounds very official. Is that just
it is. Okay. It's they represent like pickleball throughout the state.
Okay.
And we have a man here, John Hall, who has been instrumental in bringing tournaments and building this court. We went from 4 torn down derelict tennis courts to 14 top of the line pickleball courts.
They look nice when I passed them.
And unfortunately, today it's been pouring. But if you go by there at 7:30 in the morning, they are slammed.
Packed out.
We have classes every week for people that are learning how to play. And it really is great. You, like Candace was saying, you play with a wiffle ball. It's not very scary. I mean, wiffle ball can't hurt you too bad, right?
Right.
But there's, as a matter of fact, the state champion lives right here in Hiawassee.
Is the state championship played right here that complex?
I wish. No, we have tournaments here.
Because you referenced some events going on.
Oh, yeah. And they're big. We have people from all over the United States, Texas, Colorado, Indiana. They all come here for our tournaments. Of course, our courts are right on the lake, so it's beautiful.
Right.
Most of them travel in RVs, which is right across the street at the campgrounds.
Right.
So we make it easy for them to play, and it is truly a fun sport. You play just like ping pong rules.
Yeah.
You know, you pay up to 15, and it's just great fun. Great fun.
Have you either achieved the title or maybe should go for the title of the pickleball capital of Georgia?
That would be awesome.
I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas for you.
That would be awesome. We do hold 2 pretty big tournaments, one in the fall and one in the spring. This year, of course, with the whole COVID-19 deal,
right,
we've had to cancel those, but they're very well attended and they're sanctioned.
Yeah.
So they're legit tournaments.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It is great fun. Again, if it wasn't raining, you would see people out there playing.
We talked about it. She told me I should ask you. She said you are a big pickleball player.
I love playing pickleball.
How often are you?
Well, before I became mayor, I play every day.
Oh yeah.
Now it's a little bit more difficult.
It messed up some routines.
Yeah. Get in the way. This work gets in the way all the time. And this mayor gig really is a full time job. So
yeah. Whether it's steadied so or you're paid so or not. Yeah.
Yeah. The $4 an hour really really help.
Well, besides being a huge magnet for pickleball players across the nation, what else does Hiawassee have to offer?
You know, Hiawassee has so much to offer. We are the first big stop on the Appalachian Trail. So if you start off at Springer Mountain, which is in Blairsville, a little bit southern side of Blairsville, and you trek your way up, this is the first stop where the hikers get refueling. So we have the post office where they have packages sent to. We have hotels. Of course, we have the supermarket. So they stop. We have medicals in case, you know, you have some kind of issues. And we're the first stop where if you're a hiker, you think, man, this is wonderful. I am so glad I'm doing this. Or you say, what was I thinking? I'm going to get back to Atlanta, get on an airplane and go home. So
one of those two things happens in Hiawassee.
Either one of those will drive you there. And we usually see thousands of hikers starting March, heavily March through October. March, you see the hikers going north.
Right.
And then in October, you see the hikers coming south.
Right.
So we're pretty busy with the hikers in town. They're fun folks. They're very pleasant. They're always there. They commend us on being so very accommodating to them. And it's always good to talk to them. So that's a big plus that we have.
Pretty good automatic flow of tourism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, of course, we are a travel and tourism destination. You know, Candace does a great job of holding events here. There's a bunch of events. Made in Georgia is one of the biggest ones mm-hmm. that we have. And they draw in a lot of people, and of course, we're on the lake. So we have fishing tournaments galore. A couple of years ago, we hosted the Bassmaster Angler of the Year here, and that brought in thousands and thousands of people. As a matter of fact, I have the banner upstairs where they all signed.
Oh, nice.
It was a giant 8, like maybe a 10-foot banner, and as they left, they all signed it. So we've got that upstairs. So fishing tournaments, just about every weekend, there's something going on here. Some professionals, some kids, and Candace does, just a great job of handling those. We exploit our lake a lot. I think there's probably more that we could do on the lake other than just fishing, but that might be a Denise question. Maybe some dragon racing or something cool like that.
Yeah. Let me ask this, because with Mary Andrea Gibby and Young Harris, we kind of explored a little bit of this conversation, but I imagine that there is a tension between wanting to do a lot of extra things. Obviously, tourism is big, so you want to do a lot of things that bring people to it because that's your business revenue, that's your sales tax revenue, that's your hotel motel tax revenue, those kinds of things to help with that meager city budget we were talking about yes. earlier. But on the other side of that, you've got folks that are a little suspicious or maybe cautious about overdevelopment.
Sure.
And maybe that's somebody comes in and wants to build a bunch of houses because this is a great place to be. It's right on the lake. And then the people, hey, we like being a small town. We're okay with the hikers, but let's take it easy. So describe that, how that is in Hiawassee, kind of threading that needle between trying to grow your economy, because that's part of your job. And you know, you've got someone that's going to focus specifically on that because obviously you have a broad spectrum of responsibilities as the mayor, between growing the economy and trying to keep that small town feel.
Well, one of the prominent requests from our citizens in the strategic plan is to maintain a good quality of life. None of us, really, no one wants to grow and become a big city. Right. But we're still a small town. If we were to fill every single storefront in Hiawassee, which is my goal, I don't know that I'll ever achieve that, but that would be my goal, we would still be a small town. We're only 2 miles.
Because you said population is
907.
Yep.
So we're still a small town. And I think it's important for the businesses here to have enough income and enough customers coming in that will sustain them. You can have a great summer, spring, fall, and then in the winter, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Because we vacate totally.
Right.
So I think it's up to us to develop it so that during the times that where they can make money, they do. And they can survive through the winter and then start all over again next year.
Are things happening like that? Or do you have kind of an issue with people who establish a business and have a hard time making it the first couple of years because of that, I guess, dry spell that happens seasonally when everyone's, okay, it's too cold to go to the lake now.
It's definitely something that it has to be planned for. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Now, I think the businesses that have been here a long time, are ready. They're seasoned. Yep. So they know what's going to happen. Most of them close down maybe in January or February and get all settled up and restocked and get ready for the spring coming up.
Yeah.
They kind of know the plan. But whenever we speak to anybody who's thinking about doing any kind of business, we make sure and we let them know, listen, winter's coming and yeah. it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But local option sales tax is our primary income.
Okay.
So we got to make sure that we keep that going. I mean, it's more even than our property taxes.
Probably uneven, because if you're having big springs and summers because of that tourism, then actually that probably works out well for you, because since property taxes come in December, that's when your sales tax is the lowest, I imagine, right?
Exactly.
Okay, that works out
so
well.
So that kind of, you know, flows pretty well. Luckily, you know, we've been very diligent about paying off our debt. Mm-hmm. And our operating funds are in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
We've paid off over $1.7 million in debt by just, you know, setting up processes and being careful of where our banking accounts are and how to manage those and that kind of stuff. So I'm very proud of that. You know, we're set up to do good things. We just need to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And of course, you know, with the tourists coming in here and the local option sales tax, it keeps our property taxes very low. Our millage rate is 2%. So it's very low. We have, you know, some homes here that are $2 million homes at 2% millage rate.
That's pretty low.
That's it. So anyway, I think we do really well with our finances. I feel very good about where the city is from a financial standpoint. We've made a lot of strides to get us there, and I'm pretty happy with our progress.
So with regard to that, is it challenging to, I guess, you got this influx of tourism. You are trying to, you know, make sure businesses are aware of things and have good economic development and growth while not trying to overdevelop. You mentioned the words quality of life. And so another thing, small towns and sometimes ones that have an influx of people, whether it's seasonal or you know, permanent, people struggle to make sure they maintain some sense of identity. And that may be because of the families that have been there for generations. It may be because of the history of the region or certain traditions. And especially that's why you and I get maybe questioned or maybe even criticized more for not being from the towns where we've been elected to lead. So talk about that in Hiawassee. What's that like as far as that quality of life, that maintaining a sense of identity while also trying to develop and grow and attract new people?
You know, Hiawassee has a rich, very rich historical background. We were established in 1856, and we have a historical society that's very active. We have a local historian that can tell you stories about families that go back forever. For example, we have a street called Bug Scuffle.
Bug Scuffle?
Bug Scuffle.
Bug, B-U-G.
Scuffle.
Okay.
So, of course, you ask, what is that all about? You know, and Jerry Taylor, our historian, will come up and say, well, people back then were so poor that bugs even scuffled. So therefore, that became Bug Scuffle.
Okay.
So all of those things that are present, we certainly don't want to ever get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, it's an Appalachian historical group. There was a lot of moonshining going on here. We have Shake Rag Road.
Okay.
Shake Rag Road is the guy who stood on the corner shaking the rag to tell the moonshiners that the cops are coming.
Yep.
So all that history, we don't do that anymore. But all of that history is part of our city. It's part of what we do.
Yeah.
And of course, the mountains and the lake has always been there. TVA came in and built that lake. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, that was all farmland, which is also a conflict with the folks that have family that have been here that long. They're very resentful of the fact that we have a lake. Of course,
that used to be their family's farmland.
That used to be their family's farmland, and now it belongs to TVA, and it's a lake, and it's a recreational lake for us, even though it was put in more of as a power generator.
Right, at the time.
Right. So there's that going on. But back to the quality of life. You know, we did studies while we were doing our strategic plan, and we had focus groups at Young Harris College, right? Andrea Gibby and I, the mayor of Young Harris, work very well together, and we share just about everything we do. We had focus groups at the college, and the number one thing that those college students asked were, what do you want to do once you graduate? And I mean, none of them had a different story other than we want to live in a place that's cool, that's got trails, that has coffee shops, and quality of life was always number one.
Well, I imagine they picked Young Harris College because of some of the amenities that came with it.
Exactly.
They were not looking for a big city experience for their secondary education.
But what was really funny is when you ask them, well, that's all great, but how are you going to make any money? I mean, where are you going to work? The number one answer is, we can work from home. We're not worried about that.
Yeah.
So quality of life rose to the top even more for our area. I mean, and the distance between the city of Hiawassee, City Hall, and City of Young Harris, the City Hall is 8 miles.
Right.
So we are just, we're one big area, really. So the quality of life will always be important to us. I mean, there's nothing that we would want to change, nor do we ever want to change the history of our town. It's a great history. We still want to maintain the small town feel. That's why people come here. I mean, that's why I came here.
I was going to say, that's why you moved here.
That's why everybody comes here, right? Even if you come for vacation and to spend some time on the lake, it's still a nice little small town feel. We still have the Georgia Mountain Fair that happens twice a year. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, Anderson Music Hall, which has concerts just about every weekend. We have our own series on the square, Music on the Square, that happens normally between Memorial Day and Labor Day every Saturday night. Those are free to the public. Sometimes we have 300 people here that have come out on a Saturday night to watch local bands. Most of them are local bands. And they're a lot of fun. We also have movies on the square for the kids on Friday nights. So, you know, we try to keep the community involved and doing fun things and family fun things, not so much, you know, adult. One thing that we are trying to make sure that we are very competent in is our broadband. Because if we are going to attract younger work from home folks.
Right. All the folks you just referenced that want to live here and they can work from home.
And even the folks that come in and want to just work from home, period. Retired people that want to do something from home, they got to have that broadband access.
Yeah.
So we are in the process of becoming a broadband ready community. I think we're pretty close. We should be very close. Actually, we just passed the last reading of the ordinance last week. So we should be very close to having that designation. So all paths are going in the right direction for that.
Well, Mayor Liz Mel Ordiales.
That hurt.
As we close things out, I want to give you the same opportunity I give all my guests and let you speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should come visit. And apparently, if you come visit, you'll obviously want to live in Hiawassee, Georgia.
Absolutely. That's the way that goes. You know, our tagline is Georgia's lake and mountain paradise. And we really feel that we live in paradise. We're very fortunate. It's a beautiful area. The people are very, very nice. We have plenty of opportunities to do whatever it is that you want to do. If you don't like boating and being on the lake, no problem. We've got lots of nice shops. We've got a lot of nice restaurants. We have, of course, Brasstown Bald Overlook, which is, you don't even have to hike or do anything to get up there. We'll get you up to the top of Georgia and you can look around, and it's a pretty spectacular sight up there. If you do like the water and you do like being on the beach, we have a little beach that we have. We have a few boat ramps in the area. We have plenty of hiking trails, waterfalls. It's a natural paradise up here. So come on up here, check it out. You'll see. You're going to fall in love with Hiawassee. It's a great place to be, great place to visit, and certainly the best place to live.
Mayor Liz Ordiales, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Liz Mel Ordiales for talking with me today. I'll be back soon for paella and pickleball. I hope everyone out there will continue to be safe and take care of yourselves and each other. And I hope you'll find a way to support some small towns near you, either through a visit if possible, or by engaging with them through social media and supporting their local businesses through e-commerce. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors for Season 3, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Southern Mercantile, and Public Software for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.